Good morning, my friend. The marketplace of ideas is open. Really troubling situation in Virginia. And seven people are dead following a shooting at a Walmart last night in Virginia. And this was carried out by a store manager who then also shot himself. So this is in Chesapeake where this happened. And they, earlier this morning, they said in a tweet that there are seven people dead, including the shooter. Seven people dead as a result of this. And also, I think you've got Walmart. There's a Walmart employee, at least an employee in a Walmart uniform, talking about it, saying it was wild. It was a manager, one of the managers, he says. And he said, I left the break room. The manager come in there, started capping people up in there, started shooting. Sadly, we lost a few of our associates, he said. So police have not confirmed who the gunman was. I wouldn't tell you if they had. I'm sure that'll be known. I just have a policy of not naming gunmen in these cases. Whether they survive the attempt or not, it's just a really, really troubling story. That's a big one. A big one this morning. Seven people dead at this Walmart in Virginia. Also, the shooter that's facing hate crime charges, possibly, in the shooting of five people at that Colorado Springs gay nightclub, the suspect's defense team in court filing says this man is non-binary. There were several motions that were filed on his behalf, and they referred to him by name. Again, I'm not going to share it with you, but they're saying that he's non-binary and uses they/them pronouns. Now, what that's going to wind up meaning, we'll see. So the motions deal with issues like unsealing documents and evidence gathering, not his identity. There's no elaboration about his identity, but they are saying that he is non-binary and uses they/them pronouns. And there's a lot of reaction to this case, and whether or not, you know, what the media is saying and the way the media is covering this, that somehow this is, there's some blame that's being singled out. You know, people on the right are being singled out for what happened. And at this point, we have no idea. I know nothing about this man as of yet. And if he's using they, them pronouns, according to his attorneys, is he in fact somebody who's then going to be influenced by those in, you know, those in media? So it's been suggested by a number of liberal journalists and pundits who are blaming Republicans for the shooting. And this has happened on The View, and it's happened elsewhere. You got people that are blaming, you know, conservatives. When I see Tucker Carlson's being singled out for some of this stuff, and it's like, you know, it's one thing to oppose people politically or present, you know, political differences. It's another thing. You ever heard any of these people advocating for hate against, seriously? Our inability in this country to be, and certainly the left, and we see this repeatedly, the inability to be able to distinguish between you know, being critical of someone versus advocating for violence against them, they're not the same thing. They get treated as the same thing, but they're not the same thing. So that's a lot of reaction to that. Now, we're going to talk about this morning coming up. Kevin McCarthy, the House Republican leader, is calling for a Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, to resign. The reason? For his handling of the crisis at the southern border. And he's saying if he doesn't resign, he could face an impeachment inquiry when Republicans take control of the House next year. So McCarthy was at a press conference in El Paso, and he said of Mayorkas, his actions have produced the great wave of illegal immigration in recorded history. This is why today I'm calling on the secretary to resign. He cannot and must not remain in that position. If Secretary Mayorkas does not resign, House Republicans will investigate every order, every action, and every failure to determine whether we can begin an impeachment inquiry. You know, there's been a lot of talk about impeachment, and even for, you know, as with Republicans now getting control of the House. And I know, you know, some of my listeners, they're anxious to see Joe Biden impeached and so on. I'm not on that train. I'm not one who said, oh, we got to start with the impeachment. I just don't see that as beneficial. I understand it. I understand that reaction from folks. I don't know that I see it as beneficial. But as we talk about the impeachment of the potential impeachment then of Alejandro Mayorkas, if he does not resign, if we were to pursue impeachments, that's what I could get behind because of the absolute destruction that we have seen on the border. I would absolutely get behind this effort. And I agree with McCarthy, he ought to resign. You and I have known that for a long time. He ought to resign. I don't think he will. If Republicans wind up pursuing an impeachment, at least in my book, that's the one to pursue, is going after Mayorkas and getting him out because of the destruction that he is, you know, that he is responsible for, what's happening on the border and so on. So McCarthy said he had talked to Representatives Jim Jordan and James Comer, and they have his complete support to investigate the collapse of the border. Said the American public deserves more, deserves better, and expects more within their government. Enough is enough. We will do whatever it takes, he said. So there are still questions here about McCarthy and his leadership and Republicans, and there's as to, I think much of that, honestly, and we'll see what happens. I think much of that is being spurred on by the state media, by the legacy media, who love to portray Republicans. And, look at what's going on with the Republicans over here. And I think it's a deflection from more serious issues, and I'm not going to play that game. So I think McCarthy is right on this. This is an issue. You and I have talked about it, the border and what's happening on the border at length. We have seen the destruction that is occurring. We have talked to our local law enforcement officials about this. It's not just in border states that people that are coming in are then moving throughout the country. And not only are they coming in, they're bringing in fentanyl and a number of different things. We've talked about this at length. So if we are going, if there was one impeachment that Republicans were going to pursue, I think this is the one. So I welcome your comments on that this morning on Facebook. Those of you who follow the Greg Belford Show on Facebook, I posted a link to a story from Newsmax about this. And I'd welcome your thoughts. You can email me, of course, anytime, greg@keloradio.com. greg@keloradio.com is my email address. And we'll talk about that, open up the phone lines a little bit later this morning. It's I think Kevin McCarthy is absolutely correct to focus on that issue. Also, other big stories this morning. Elon Musk and Twitter. There was Dinesh D'Souza. For those of you who know Dinesh D'Souza, he posted a comment on Twitter. He said, "We don't hear much about Democrats and leftists being let back on Twitter. Why? Because they were never kicked off in the first place. Their lies and misinformation simply escaped all scrutiny. Censorship has been deployed as a one-way operation against conservatives." And Elon Musk responded to that and says, correct, correct. So he's saying the reason that you're not hearing about liberals that are being let back on Twitter is they were never kicked off in the first place. It was only conservatives and Republicans who were being kicked off Twitter. Now, speaking of Elon Musk, he says he was responding, I think, to someone else. Kyle Becker had said, if Elon Musk were actually the right-wing boogeyman these spoiled leftist journos pretend he is, and he decided to turn the tables and ban all left-wing fake news from Twitter, there'd be nothing left for them to publish. And so Musk says, as is obvious to all but the media, there is not one permanent ban on even the most far-left account spouting utter lies. And he used an example of the Associated Press. And more on this in a moment. And Musk said, not even Associated Press, with their completely fictional report on Russian missiles hitting Poland that carried severe consequences for escalating the war. So he's right. He's saying that there's not been one permanent ban on even the most far-left account. And he uses the Associated Press here as an example. Their report, which is untrue, by the way, about Russian missiles hitting Poland. So I want to make sure that you have seen this, that the Associated Press reporter who was at the center of that story, he had claimed that a senior U.S. intelligence official had said that Russia fired that missile into Poland. And he has been fired initially. Again, I want to make sure you hear that. He's been fired from the Associated Press. Initially, the AP, following the story, issued a retraction later that same day. And they said, in earlier versions of the story, the Associated Press reported erroneously, based on information from a senior American intelligence official who spoke on condition of anonymity, that Russian missiles had crossed into Poland and killed two people. Subsequent reporting showed that the missiles were Russian-made and most likely fired by Ukraine in defense of a Russian attack. So the reporter at the midst of that story fired by the Associated Press, as a result of this, and the AP, you know, hours after initially issuing the story, you know, issuing a retraction. So Elon Musk's comment is pretty well taken, you know, when he said, you know, even the Associated Press and this erroneous report and his bogus reporting hasn't even banned them from Twitter. And I'm like, bam. You know what I mean? It's like he's Popeye's the twister punch, you know. He's twisted his glove and boom. It's just absolutely incredible. So as it's absolutely right. Leftist Democrats, they were never banished from Twitter. It was only conservatives. It was only right-wingers are the people who were at the heart of some of these bans. That's a big story this morning. Well, Dr. Fauci briefed reporters for the last time, and he pressed the idea that Americans should get up to date on their COVID and flu shots ahead of winter. So he gave his final briefing to reporters yesterday. He will leave government at the end of the year, so he's not done yet. He will leave at the end of the year, but gave his final briefing yesterday. And White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the country is stronger and healthier because of Dr. Fauci's leadership. Some of us will be saying good riddance to Dr. Fauci. And I'm going to leave it. I mean, that's a big story this morning. I don't know that. I think many of us, many Americans like me, have long since dismissed Dr. Fauci as. So his final briefing, I'm like, hey, it can't come a moment too soon. You know, that was my first reaction. Like, this is not a moment too soon. Fauci eager to get out of that position, especially now that Republicans, he'll still be in the news. He'll be called in front of Congress to answer questions, but. He gave his last press briefing yesterday. Also, do you see that Jay Leno is back in the driver's seat, seen behind the wheel again after that he was involved in that fire? Jay Leno, now 72 years old. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, there were some close-up pictures that had been released showing his injuries. Beneath it, you know, his chin, his ear, his hands, and Leno getting into his car, videographers asked him, how you doing? And he said, hanging in. Everything's fine. Everything's good. He said, I'll be performing Sunday at Comedy and Magic Club, he said. And his sense of humor is still sharp. Photographers suggested that he ought to get some sleep before his weekend gig, and Leno quipped, yeah, I need barbecue. I'm like, that's a man after my own heart. So he's already out joking. You'll be performing coming up this weekend. And those are the big stories this morning. We'll get you more details. Fox News Radio coming up shortly. 6:25, I want to remind you, no Greg Belford show tomorrow and Friday due to the Thanksgiving holiday. Want to wish you, your friends and family, a very, very happy Thanksgiving. I'll be back on Monday. And you're listening to the Greg Belford show on Kello.